Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I have memories, precious memories, since my Lord the King rescued me. I cried out from sinking sand. He reached down with loving hands. Memories, precious memories. I have memories that time cannot erase. I have memories, precious memories, since my Lord the King rescued me. I cried out from sinking sand. He reached down with loving hands. Memories, precious memories. I have memories that time cannot erase. Amen. Friends and loved ones, we have known. We look around, now some are gone. Time takes a toll as the years go by. But I can still recall one special day when I met the one who took my sins away. When I think of all he's done, sometimes it makes me cry. 'Cause I have memories, precious memories, since my Lord the King rescued me. I cried out from sinking sand. He reached down with loving hands. Memories, precious memories. I have memories that time cannot erase. Amen. I have memories, precious memories, since my Lord the King rescued me. I cried out from sinking sand. He reached down with loving hands. Memories, precious memories. I have memories that time cannot erase. Precious memories that time cannot erase. Amen. Amen. I sure do. Some of those are recent memories. Amen. It's not just from a long time ago. Hadn't been long since I felt the touch of God. Time's not going to erase that memory. Amen. Time will not. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about consistency. Amen. Consistency. Amen. We all could use a little bit more consistency. Jesus, there's a place here I'd like to, if you'd like to stand. Amen. Jesus said some words while he was teaching here in Matthew, the 6th or the 7th chapter, verse number 7. Matthew 7:7. I'll just start there and read the words of Jesus. In his teaching, he said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." You may be seated. This is the consistency I'm talking about. Amen. You have a need in your life, you ask, but you don't just ask. You keep asking. And when you ask, you receive. And you don't just receive. When you keep asking, you keep receiving. Praise God. Because you're serving a consistent God. He always hears and answers prayer. When you knock, don't let it be for the last time. Praise God, because He will open the door when you knock. Don't just stand there as if the door is not open. If it feels like the door is closed, keep knocking. And He will keep letting you know the door is open. Praise God, the door is open. Amen. God is a consistent God. He's much more consistent than we are. Amen. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change on us. He'll be right there. Amen. Keep seeking. Don't just seek, but keep seeking. He that seeketh, findeth. Why? Because God keeps showing you the way. He keeps showing you what it is you're seeking for. Keeps presenting it to you over and over. There never comes a time when God changes His mind and decides He's not going to give you what you're seeking for. Amen. If you seek for it, you'll find it. Isn't that the Word of God? If you seek, you find. Amen. The reason that's true is because when you seek, it's there. It's always there. You never come to God's door and find a sign going out of business. You never call on God and ask Him for anything when He says, "I'm having a bad day. I don't feel like answering your prayers today. I'm worried about a few things. I've got some things on my mind. I'm frustrated," or all these things that people go through. You know, some folks can't live for God if it's a cloudy day. I mean, they may think they're living for God, but their countenance and their why should we take it out on God when we're not feeling just right? What has He done to us? Amen. Has He ever held out on you? Has He ever refused to open the door when you knocked? Amen. Has He ever not been able to answer your prayers? Or has He ever said, "I'm not going to answer your prayers"? Praise God. Why do we take it out on God and miss church or and if anybody's here, I'm not talking about Sister Judy. She's not feeling well tonight. I'm not talking to you, Sister Judy. I'm talking about these people that just because things didn't go too well today, "I'm not going to church," or "I'm not going to testify," or "I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that." Amen. God doesn't do us that way. Why should we do Him that way? We don't always do everything that He's pleased with either. Amen. What if God would say, "Because you didn't live for Me as I expected you to every minute, I'm not going to bless you." He didn't do that to us, did He? But many of us sometimes we say, "Well, because it didn't go like I expected it, I'm not going to praise Him." We may not say it in words, but we say it in actions. Amen. I mean, if you were able to praise Him Sunday and you can't praise Him with all your heart now like you did last Sunday, what happened between Sunday and now? Thank you, Jesus. What took away your praise? Did God go bad on you? Did God mess up? Did God forget to answer your prayers? Did God not open the door one time and it made you angry? Praise God. So what happened to the praise? What happened to the consistency of praising God, calling on God? Thank you, Jesus. You had a song in your heart last week. What happened to it now? Why hold it against God? If you ever sung to the Lord, sing to Him now. He's still God. He hasn't changed. His love has not changed. His willingness to provide has not changed. His answer when you call on Him is still there. Praise God. Consistency. God is always, always the same. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So people say, well, I used to really praise Him. So what did God do to you to cause you to stop? Thank you, Jesus. If we ever praised Him before, we need to praise Him now. To have praised Him in past tense and not praise Him now is to have a history of having a taste of God and then walking away from it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He that seeketh, findeth. Amen. Ask and it shall be given you. Now be careful what you ask for. You ask for something like a lot of money because you're greedy and you're going to, you know, if God doesn't come through with the money, you're not going to serve Him. He doesn't play those games. And you may ask for something you don't need. It's not best for you. And you may not get it. And it's not because God's holding back on you. God knows more about what you need than you do. Amen. He's actually protecting you sometimes by not giving you what you're asking for, because what you're asking for is not what you should be asking for. You're not asking according to His will. And He's consistent with His will. Amen. And He wants us to be willing to serve Him. And be consistent with that. And if we should ask for something that would take us out of the will of God, and God can see right on ahead where we're headed, if we'd ask for something that would cause us to fail God, if we're asking for something that would cause us not to be what we should be for God, He already knows it while we're asking it. So don't ask Him for $1 million, and if you don't get it next week, don't get mad at Him. Ask Him for $1 million blessing, see what happens. Praise God. Ask Him to help you be close to Him and find yourself loving Him and walking with Him and drawing near to Him and giving up things that are not necessarily best for you. Ask Him about those things, see what He'll do. He'll do just like He did the first time you asked Him for that. It'll still be there. You'll still have a new beginning, a new start, a new freshness, a new ability to walk with Him. Hallelujah. He won't ever change. He'll never change. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He'll never change. Thank you, Jesus. Here's some teaching that some people have a tough time understanding. Jesus' teaching in the book of Luke. Amen. In the book of Luke, He says in verse number 49 in chapter 12, Jesus says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. Now, this just really upsets a lot of people when they hear this teaching. Well, what? You didn't the Word say when Jesus was born, peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Absolutely. And so you read this and your mind says, are we talking about consistency here? What happened? Just hang on. Hang on a second. Jesus said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. He's talking to some people here. Amen. Who are not acting just right. Who are not believing just right. Who are not doing just right. They're not listening to Him just right. And they're looking for all the wrong things and all the wrong directions. And He's letting them know it's not exactly like you think it is all the time. And the way you're doing it is not always the best way to do it. And I've come to make a difference. Amen. You suppose I'm here to let you live in peace like you are. No, I've come to disturb that. Yeah. Because I want you to be saved. I've come to change you, and I'm not changing. And you're not going to get your peace from this world. You're going to get it from me. And when you get it from me, you're going to be separated from the world. I didn't come to bring peace in this world. I came to bring division from this world. I came to bring sanctification to your life. I came to teach you to love not the world or the things of the world. Amen. I didn't come to bring peace to this world. This world is cursed. But there can be peace on earth. Because I am peace, saith the Lord. I am the way, saith the Lord. I am the truth, saith the Lord. I am the life that you need, saith the Lord. Now you suppose that I am come to give peace on earth? Nay. In other words, no way. And he teaches consistently all through the Word of God. This world's going to be burned with fervent heat. This world is cursed. This world is in a mess. And it's going to get worse. That's what it teaches in the Word of God. But consistently, he also teaches that he has provided a way of escape. Hallelujah. That's right. My peace I give unto you, he says, consistently. Follow the way of peace, he teaches, consistently. So if you're troubled, were you ever at peace? You think you could get it back? I wonder where you would go to get it. Hallelujah. If you're down, have you ever been up? Praise God. Did God put you down? Thank you, Jesus. So you think I came to give peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. Thank you, Jesus. From now on, there will be 5 in 1 house divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. Yeah, that don't sound like God to me, somebody might say. Well, maybe you're on the wrong side of the fence. When you get in Jesus Christ, you find a house that's not divided against itself. But if your house is divided against itself, that's why you need some division that God can consistently provide. He can separate you from that will destroy you if you ask Him to. Thank you, Jesus. And he's willing to do it now. Always willing to do it now. Now's the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So he said, I didn't come to bring peace on earth. Amen. But he is the peace that you can find on the earth. Thank you. All these people expecting this earth to, you know, one of these days it's all going to be peaceful. The lion is going to lie down by the lamb, and the rattlesnake is going to lie down by the mouse, and everybody's just going to have a sweet old time. They've missed something that's mighty powerful, but it's spiritual. Thank you, Jesus. But they that worship God need to climb a little higher and realize there's a spiritual God that we serve who deals in spiritual ways. Hallelujah. And there will come a time when that which is seemingly rough that we go through and that which is like a roaring lion, it's always a challenge. It's always something that we have to deal with. Life itself gets to be a burden sometimes because we have so many things to go through. But there will come a time when all that will come into a peace with God if we yield to Him consistently. Because He keeps on standing at your door knocking. He keeps on calling out to you, come and follow me. Praise God. He keeps on saying over and over, I want to be your closest friend. Closer than a brother. Amen. And so, if we're going to have this to happen, we're going to have to have a crossing over moment, you know, where we come from bad to good. Feeling bad to feeling right. Amen. Amen. Hurting with frustrations to possibly hurting with hope until we get past this veil of tears. But it's better to hurt with hope in God than to hurt and not worship Him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody called me some time ago and said, I'm not coming to church because some things happened to me. Well, did God hurt you? Thank you, Jesus. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. I just don't feel like praying tonight because somebody did me wrong. Was it God? You know, it's like, so some child messes up and you just go spank your child. That's not quite fair, is it? Or some father is abusive to his wife, and so you get mad at your daddy. You know, we do God like that. I'm talking about the human race in general. We do God like that. Somebody that's supposed to represent the kingdom of God disappoints us. We just clam up and say, I'm not speaking to God anymore. Wait a minute, what did God do? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. From now on, there'll be like five in one house. And don't just get caught up in these particular numbers. He's not just, you know, don't go looking for a house that has five people in it. The way some people treat the Word of God, you know. Oh, this is what it says right here. It says there'll be five, you know. I heard a preacher the other day, and he's a man I respect and admire, and but he's off a little bit, I feel, and some areas, because it said Jesus taught that parable, a certain man. Talked about a certain man. Talked about Lazarus, you know, and he talked about the rich man going to hell, lifting up his eyes in hell. He said that. He said, now that was a real happening. He said, it happened. He's already gone to hell and he's still there. And he said, it has to be because Jesus said, a certain man. And I got to listening to that, and I love this man that was talking, so if he happens to be listening, I'm not running him down. But I hope he'll think about what I'm saying here. In that same parable, Jesus had been teaching other parables to illustrate some truth. But in that same parable, he talked about the man in hell calling out to Abraham. What could Abraham do? What he was doing was teaching in their level of understanding, these descendants of Abraham. He was teaching a parable in an effort to get through to them in a level of understanding how it's going to be. If you increase your life with the things of this world and neglect the things of God, if you just gather unto yourself things that you feel make you rich, then you will be part of this result of this teaching of the parable that Jesus taught. But you won't be crying out to Father Abraham. The consistency of the Word of God, if you read the Word of God and don't just take one verse or two verses and pick out one or two words in those verses and say it has to be because this is the way I believe it. No, every time somebody says the way I believe it is this, I always put up a red flag. But it doesn't matter how I believe it or how you believe it. We need to believe it, and that's it. How we believe it doesn't mean beans. Praise God. But the whole Word of God teaches us that there is a future punishment. There is a future reward. And it does not teach us that Satan is down there in hell somewhere pulling all the strings. But a lot of people talk about all the devils in hell cannot make me do this or do that. They're not in hell yet. But they have been cast down. And they're on their way. Now, if the devils are in hell, you don't have anything to worry about. Because once you get to hell, you're not going to roam on this earth. You're not going to go around this world seeking whom you may devour. Once you get to hell, you're not going to have any hope. There's not going to be anything that you can do calling on anybody you want to call on, God, Abraham, or anybody. That's it. It's over. It's done. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But a time shall come when there will be the separation of the good and the bad forever. And that which is good forever will stay forever with that which is good. Praise God. And that which is bad forever will stay forever with that which is bad forever. But we don't need to get caught up in some kind of debate that divides the people of God over what Jesus meant by saying a certain man. Let's just read it. And let's don't forget all the other scriptures in the Word of God that concern God's dealing with mankind. Because God deals from an eternal realm and He sees us from beginning to end. And a certain man could be thousands and even millions of people. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And He comes down on a level of understanding in His teaching to get through to us. But God is still God. He's still consistently God. Even if in Jesus Christ, He talks about flowers, and He talks about animals, and He talks about fields. He's still God. And He hasn't changed. He talks about a certain man, and He uses parables to teach. He's still God, and His Word is still consistent with itself, and it's not subject to anybody's private way of believing it. He stays God. His Word stays true. And how we believe it just ends up with a lot of foolish debate, questions, and divisions that God didn't plan for our lives. We put them on ourselves. People divide themselves and compare themselves among themselves. And the Word of God teaches they're not wise when they do these things. But Jesus taught from henceforth there should be five in one house divided. Now that could be 5 million or 5 billion. It could be from beginning to end of all the people that have lived. Some have lived for God, some didn't. And if you have some people in one household, a few of them living for God and some of them not, that house is going to be divided. Amen. Some of them are seeking after God and some of them seeking after the things of the world. There's going to be division in that household. If the priorities of some of the family members are the things of God and other family members don't want to acknowledge God, it can't help but be division. And Jesus said, I came to cause division because I want those that want to serve me to be able to serve me. You seek for me, you'll find me. I don't care how many in your household are against it, you'll find me. I came to divide you from that. I came to separate you from that. I came to bless you. When you want to be blessed, it doesn't matter if your other family members, the others in your house don't want it, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Hallelujah. The people of God have been reigning with Christ ever since Christ has been reigning. And it's been more than 1,000 years. The people ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ on this earth have been ruling and reigning with Him ever since Jesus started ruling and reigning. Many of them have been dead for hundreds and hundreds of years. Many have been dead for more than 1,000 years. But in their lifetime, they were part of ruling and reigning with Him 1,000 years and 2,000 years. And if the Lord tarries, 3,000 years. We rule and reign with Him when we get with Him. When we become part of Him. When we become part of what He's all about, enter into His consistency. Even though we've been inconsistent, we get into His consistency. And what He does surprises all of our friends and neighbors. Because it looks like we're consistent. It's just simply following Him. He always does it right. The only hope you have, the only hope you have, Brother Danny, the only hope you've got, and I'm so glad you're here. The only hope I've got is to keep trying. Keep coming back. Keep starting again. You can't pick up the pieces and your life is shattered. Let Jesus pick up the pieces. Cry out right from where you are. Don't try to get the sympathy of the people around you. You'll always get some. But that's not going to help anybody. God's going to divide that. He's going to take the sheep and He's going to take the good and say, you're with me and the rest of you can have this too, but you're going to have to come over here. We're not coming over there. Yeah, but you don't know what happened to me. I know what can. You can hold on to that or you can grab a hold of God. God ever bless you, Brother Dana?
Yes, sir.
He can do it now.
Amen.
God ever bless you, Brother Rick? He can do it now. He hasn't changed. God ever bless you, Brother Joe? He can do it now. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Brother Danny, that night you were baptized in Jesus' name. Whatever it was that wanted you to be baptized. Whatever it was, it was saying, come this way. He's with you right now. Right now. Sister Jennifer, when you decided to live for God, whatever it was that caused that, He's still the same right now. When you got that blessing on your job or at home, good things happened to you and you felt so good, and your friends were just rejoicing with you because all this was going so well for you, and you just felt like jumping up and down. And now it doesn't feel quite the same. Well, whatever he was when it felt that way, he still is. And he still can make you jump up and down. Hallelujah! Ask. Ask him. Ask him. In faith, believing. Not doubting, not wavering, in faith believing. If you ask in faith believing, you will receive what you're asking for. Ask and you shall receive.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. If any man asketh, he receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. He that knocketh, to him the door shall be opened. Knocketh means knock again. Seeketh means seek again. Asketh means ask again. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When we find ourselves in the pit, when we find ourselves messed up, when we find ourselves not being consistent, the only answer is to call on Jesus. The only thing to solve the problem is Jesus. The only hope we have is Jesus. The only salvation we can find will be in Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no other answer. There is no other way. There is nothing else in this world that can give us relief. There is nobody, no set of friends, no place in geography. There is nothing anywhere that can fix it. But Jesus can if we'll ask Him again. Ask Him again. Seek Him again. Seek Him again. Knock on that door again. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Knock again. Ask again. The Father shall divide. The Father shall be divided against the Son, and the Son against the Father, the Mother against the Daughter, and the Daughter against the Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That sounds like a lot of families I know. And he said also to the people, when you see the cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. You can tell when it's going to rain just by looking at the clouds. And when you hear the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And it comes to pass. Now, isn't that something? You can figure that out. The wind's coming from the south, so it's going to be warm. It's clouding up, so it's going to rain. Then he says, you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? Now, a lot of people read through all of this and they read Matthew 24 and they think he's just talking about this time being the end of the world. And there's a lot about the end of the world because the question was asked to the Lord, when shall these things be? When shall all this? But God is more concerned about the end of your world. About the world ending in your life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's where the consistency in the teaching of the Word is. That's where God is consistent in all His ways. That's where Jesus is consistent in everything He taught. And He said to His disciples, we're asking these foolish questions. It's not for you to know. But they kept on wanting to know more. And He kept on trying to let them know, because He's a gentle Savior. He's a good Lord. And he wants them to make their own choices. He wants us to make our own choices. But so he teaches in parables. He teaches in ways that a third grader can understand it if a third grader has paid attention in school. Real simple lessons, you know. Real simple lessons. But it's not all about when is it going to be the end of time. It's when are you going to end living for the devil and start living for God. Because you can see the clouds and you know it's going to rain. You can feel the south wind blowing. You know it's going to get warmer. How about hearing the word of God and know I can save you? How about paying attention to what's coming over the pulpit and realize it's coming from God? Thank you, Jesus. How about realizing once again, praise God, it doesn't so much matter what the times and the signs of the times naturally are speaking of. What matters is God speaking to your heart. Will you follow Him? Will you serve Him? Will you come out from among them and be ye separate unto Him? Hallelujah. You see the cloud and you say it's going to come a shower. You hear the wind and you feel the wind and you say it's going to turn warm. You hypocrites, you can tell all this, but how is it you don't discern this time, this moment? Praise God. Yeah, why even of yourselves judge you not what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, as you're in the way, give diligence to what you may be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell you, you won't depart from thence till you've paid the very last mite. And he's just telling this people and telling everybody, that's the way of the world. You get in trouble with the world, you can't trust the world. And you get yourself subject to the world's going to come down on you. You're going to get yourself in trouble, get yourself all bound up, get yourself under their jurisdiction, get them ruling over you, when you could have a righteous judge. You could have goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. You could have freedom and peace with you and gentleness all the time. Hallelujah. See, and he doesn't end, and I'm going to end pretty soon, but he doesn't end with just because the next chapter comes up and it says 13. No, that 13 wasn't there in the original. There was no verse number 59, there was no 59 written. And there were no Trinitarian margins in the side of the Bible. Hallelujah. Footnotes. Trinitarian footnotes in the margins in the side of the Bible. Trinitarian notes. So, I mean, this conversation, he's talking about two against five, five against, or two against three, three against two, and all that, or just division. He said, and I came to cause it. You suppose there's going to be peace on the earth? I came to bring fighting. I want you to fight a good fight of faith. I want you to lay hold on eternal life. I came to separate you from the ways of the world. I come to cause you to do things that's going to make people that once loved you hate you. They're going to despise you. They're going to become your enemy. And you're going to be hated for my name's sake. But it will be a way of peace for you. Hallelujah. And it can be a way of peace for them. So love them. Love your enemies. They do something bad to you, hey, be careful what you do back. Remember, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll take care of it. You just come on and enjoy me. Enjoy living for God. Praise God. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. That's terrible. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they allowed such things. You suppose that could be the case? They're just really sinners above all sinners. I tell you, no. But if you don't repent, you'll perish just like they will. They're not any bigger sinners than you are. That's what he's saying.
They come in there to say, oh, Master, Master, did you know that Pilate has mingled some blood with sacrifices? And there's people that are Galileans, supposed to be followers, supposed to be people that love Jesus, or people that are supposed to be changing. Don't they go to your church? And they're allowing all this. I mean, they're going along with it. And Jesus said, well, so what if they were the worst of sinners? What if they were the greatest sinners on the face of the earth for allowing this? I'm telling you, if you don't repent, you will likewise perish. Even if they're the greatest sinners on the face of the earth, if you don't repent, you'll suffer the same punishment they will. Thank you, Jesus. That's not just a lesson for people 2,000 years ago. We don't need to label sin, you know, and you know some are going to burn more than others and go around judging who's going to get hotter than the others and who's going to suffer more than the others. I mean, we all have our favorite sins and our ones that turn us off more than others. But Jesus consistently teaches, hey, no matter what it is, same punishment is for all. I mean, people talk about child molesters and they say, hell needs to be really hot for that one. Well, it's going to be. But it will be for you too if you don't repent. And you'll be right there with them forever. Thank you, Jesus. And it'll be the same heat. Now, you know, I've heard people talk about, I burned my hand the other day and I sure don't want to go to hell. You don't even know what you're saying. This human body as we know it is not going to burn in hell. But it's going to be a body that can't die, but yet feels pain. It's going to be a spiritual body that can't go to heaven. Going to be one that can speak and hear and know and feel but can't die. Thank you, Jesus. And a lot of us can sit around and say, yeah, that murderer needs to go to a place like that. Well, if you don't repent, you're going to go there too. And get the same punishment. Exactly the same punishment. No matter how much we wish it, hell's not going to be hotter for one than it is the other. It may seem hotter to the ones who have served God for a while and then ended up going the wrong direction. That would seem awful hot, all right. But it'll be the same heat. God's consistent. Thank you, Jesus. But on the other hand, heaven is consistent. And you may not have preached all the camp meetings. And you may not have shouted and jumped till you reached the chandeliers and swung and praised God. You may not have been the one that ran the most or jumped the most or yelled the most or sung the most. But if you at some moment in your life ever sought after God, and you ever knocked on that door, and you ever found the way, and didn't depart from it, your reward will be the same as the missionary that came with all the reports of the thousands being saved. Your reward will be the same as those that did exploits for God. You will sit at the same table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll sit at the same table with Paul and Silas and Matthew and Timothy. And the reward for you will be the same as the reward for them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Will there be any stars in my crown, in my crown? See, people look at God in such immature ways. You know, because they went to school and the teacher gave them a star on their work. I got a star. I got rewarded. And then next time they went to the class and did it again, they got two stars. And the one next to them still only had one star. And then the message finally soaks through. When we get to heaven, we're going to have stars if we do a lot of good things. And they start getting that in their mind. And then a song is written. It's been around a long time. Pretty song. Will there be any stars in my crown? Well, first of all, the crown won't be a crown with stars on it, on your head. And Jesus is not going to stand around trying to see who did better than somebody else and put three stars here and two stars there and one star here. No. If there's any stars, you'll have the same as everybody else. Praise God. If you did well, you're not going to live in a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. You're going to have just as great a mansion as anybody. Thank you, Jesus. Please know who you are, as Brother Rick said the other night. We're going to heaven. We got a God who is consistent. He hears and answers prayer. He has opened heaven up for whosoever will. And if you'll live consistently from here to there, when you get there, you will be crowned with life forever. You will be rewarded the same as everybody else.
Yes, hallelujah.
Great will be your reward in heaven.
Mighty God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, think about those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? He's talking to these same people. And he said, I tell you, no, they weren't any greater sinners. But if you don't repent, you'll perish just like they did. And then he spoke a parable. A certain man. My friend would say, aha, so this really happened because he's saying a certain man. Jesus wouldn't lie. No, it's not a lie. Look, when Jesus teaches a parable, it can't be a lie because he's God. And even if you didn't see it as the truth, it'd be truth anyhow because he's God. Whatever he says is right. And if it's not consistent in your mind, if your mind is messed up. But he taught a parable. The word parable tells us that what he was saying here, and I've got you standing because I'm ending. What he's saying here, the word parable, is telling us that what he's saying here is a group of words to portray a teaching lesson. The way that life can be, has been, shall be, or is. It's a
like a paraphrase, you might say. It's a look at life and how things are. And then he tells something in teaching that's not necessarily a particular person, but it could cover hundreds and thousands of situations in life. Amen. Otherwise, we would just have a history book here about a certain person that went through something. But no, this is a lesson, so we can all glean from it. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground?" And he answering and said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Amen. Amen. And then he went, you know, as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and couldn't lift herself up. And see, he was teaching these, and right in the middle of all this, he was healing people. And Jesus saw her, and he called her to him, and he said, "Woman, you're loose from your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, "Well, there are 6 days which people ought to work." I mean, he said, this madman said, there are 6 days when people should work. And then that's when people should get healed, not on the Sabbath day. You know, people kind of think the opposite of the day. You should get blessed on Sunday. And the rest of the week's for doing anything else you want to do. Let's come to the front. People get crazy things in their minds. But Jesus is consistent. Amen. And he said, "You hypocrite. Don't each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" When he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Hallelujah. You go on and on. It's really interesting just to see the inconsistencies of humanity and the consistencies of God. Then what happens when we adjust to asking and seeking and knocking? We let him make us consistent. I would rather be consistent trying to serve God than consistently trying to get out of it. And there are people who do that. You know, no matter how many times they get blessed, they consistently end up in the world, not serving God. I'd rather do it the opposite way. No matter how many times I fall down and hurt myself, no matter how many times I'm disappointed with the way things are, no matter how many mistakes I make, let the final word be, consistently I call on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And he heard my cry. Out of the depths I cried unto my God. He heard me. And he delivered me. He delivered us. He delivered me from all my afflictions. He delivered me from the hand of the enemy. Let's worship him. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the word that says, "They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you for the consistency of that. as we call upon you now. We call upon your name now, Lord. Save us again. Thank you, Jesus. Save us again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's all you want to give him tonight? I mean, any other reasons to praise him other than, I mean, have you got any reason to get your mind off the clock? You got any reason to maybe spend a little bit more time, or do you just need to keep it like it was so you can keep your schedule? Is your body aching so much that you need this to end and get it over with? Or would you look and see what God has done for you, and possibly now that we've done our little formality of praising as we always do, now let's spend some time with Him. Maybe there's something can happen for you right now that you've been needing to happen for a long time. Thank you, Jesus. When it stops being a pep rally, when it stops being the way we always do it, when we get to the point when it's time to do it the way we usually do it, and it doesn't happen that way. Some may look at that as inconsistency, but that's some consistency that God's looking for. He wants us to get past our ways and find His ways. His way is, I didn't come to bless you at 9:15 and get it over with at 9:18. I came to bless you, and I hope when I bless you, you'll love me enough to praise and worship me and gain strength in your life, so when you leave the church, you'll take with you what you need to come back with a testimony of victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worship Him. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's seeking true worshipers, not hypocrite worshipers, real worshipers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Mold us and make us. Break us and put us together again. Thank you, Jesus. Lift us up above the shadows. Help us to see the sun shining through. Praise God. Let us discern the time that we have right now and what can happen rather than looking at the clouds and knowing trouble's coming. Rather than looking at how we feel and knowing something's going to happen because of that. Let's look at what you've done. Help us discern this time when you can bless us, when you can deliver us, no matter how we feel, no matter what we see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We need you, God. We need your help. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for how you've been healing us over and over. You're always there. You're always the deliverer that you say in your word that you can be and have been. You are our deliverer now. You are our help. in a time of need right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're a present help in a time of trouble. Praise your name. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We could spend a lot of weeks and months looking forward to revival. Or we could be revived and go forward.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just however you choose, you can look forward to the revival that's coming. Or you can get revived now. And do exploits for God. Thank you, Jesus. Or when evangelist so-and-so comes, we'll get it all worked out. What if Jesus was here right now? Could you get it worked out?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, let's praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Everybody say, ask. Seek. Knock. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you keep asking, which that word, A-S-K-E-T-H, he that asketh, means if you continue to ask, what will he do? He that asketh, receiveth. E-T-H. Receiveth.
Hallelujah.
You keep asking, and you keep receiving. You keep asking, and you keep getting it.
Hallelujah.
You keep seeking,
hallelujah,
and what do you get in return?
Jesus.
You keep finding. You keep seeking, and you keep finding. And you keep seeking, and you keep finding.
Glory.
Wonder what would happen if we stopped seeking. We would not find it.
Hallelujah.
But if we seek it, we find it.
Amen.
You keep on knocking, and the door stays open.
Hallelujah.
And you knock again.
Hallelujah.
And the door is open.
Hallelujah.
And you keep on knocking.
Hallelujah.
And the door is open.
Amen.
He that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. He that knocketh, to him the door shall be open. But when you stop, don't count on any of those good things happening to you. God bless.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That's what you call awesome. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the word of life. Thank you for the crown of life laid up for all those that love your appearing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Him that hath, to him shall be given. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the consistency of your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.